stab at this myself. So I think one of the things that I see a lot is the access, right? Access and speed of reporting is something that I think professional and community and participatory journalists can meet on, right? So if we can establish a way to work to cultivate reliable community journalists, right? People who we know are reliable, beyond just, like, they don't need to be professional journalists, they don't need to be freelancers or retainers, but finding those people that we do trust, building relationships with them, they have access to areas that we don't as professional journalists. But as professional journalists, we can get them the access that they would lack otherwise, right?
I get a question over this.
Yeah.
Is the only difference in a freelancer at that point whether or not you can create them?
No, well, that's debatable. I would argue, at least in the old way of thinking, that a freelance journalist who is a professional journalist is still someone who is working, maybe has formal training as a journalist, has worked for a publication before. I think citizen journalists certainly can become freelance professional journalists, and I've seen it happen. But I think it's working within the framework of professional journalism as opposed to citizen journalism. Yeah. And I've met people who were, you know, political activists who became political reporters without going through J school or anything like that. So it can happen, but I think they're distinct.
I guess, where's the line? What's the definition of it? How does Cameron's write-up about a protest that happened last week that gets published or picked up by somebody else, is that citizen journalist? Because you've established that he is reliable, he is somebody that you as an organization trust. What is the difference?
Isn't that what this conversation is?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly it. I would say that right now, the difference is self-identification,
yes.
Right?
Anybody needs to
right? And it's like, it's the difference between, okay, so the Atlantic published my piece, that doesn't mean I write for the Atlantic, right? It's, that's the distinction. A citizen journalist is still their own entity. But if they have those established relationships, and you're right, there are parallels. Like, as a freelancer, I know a lot of editors, and that's how I do my work, but I don't say I'm a writer for an X or Y, I've written for them before. So you're right, there is that overlap, but I think that's the distinction. Self-identification. But also how it's done, how do you post that content? Are you also running your own blog, your own Facebook feed? Are you managing your own content as well? You know.
There's a lot of professional journalists who are following water, citizen journalists all the time.
Right, exactly.
And picking up stuff from
right.
Or communicating.
Absolutely.
And that's constant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, usually don't answer.
Exactly. Or if they aren't.
Back and help them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, and I feel like actually Gawker Media has done an interesting job with this, because they have. They do that a lot. They'll quote a citizen journalist in their posts with attribution, hopefully, usually. Well, no, they're not a perfect example.
Well, no, I mean, they probably have their reputation as citizen journalists to some extent.
Right. Well, because how they kind of started was as citizen journalism to an extent. Like, they started as a blog site and became professional bloggers, and now they're, so.
They had both.
Right, and they still do, and they even have their forums for citizen journalists. So, there's an interesting model. It may not be perfect, but, you know.
And I think sometimes, just because your content's distributed doesn't mean you've got paid necessarily.
Right.
That's compensation. Of course you're not. Published on a platform.
Yeah.
And the pitch process too is different. I think if you're a freelancer, at least in my experience, you know, you come to the editor and you know, you kind of understand their editorial priorities in general, or maybe for that time period, and you pitch a story to them that you can do, and then they say yes or no, and then you go do the story. So there's a pitch process versus like you're already covering it, you know, and there's more of like a pull from the publisher to get that content published on their site.
So are you making like a list on another sheet?
I certainly can.
Yeah. So you, somebody already mentioned the idea around collaboration around access. It was you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say another area of collaboration is around agenda. In other words, a mainstream news organization may decide the opioid crisis is something we really want to focus on. Well, they can find common purpose with the doctor I cited in the community around reporting on the opioid crisis. So there's the potential for collaboration on agenda that crosses.
Link back when you reference. I think that takes an honesty on the part of journalists. You usually don't do it, but.
Attribution.
Attribution.
Yeah. Always attribute.
If somebody, I guess, if they were comfortable in being like firmly established and defined as I'm the journalist in this situation sort of deal, I guess they could choose. And often the job of journalist is curator, so you can decide who is trustworthy and who isn't. And
right.
You can be very clear about who you believe is actually doing constructive work.
Right.
And for the public good, who's just
To push back from the center of the conversation, isn't that same gatekeeper role of information why citizen journalists are here in the first place? A legacy media company says that person's content is okay, and that they curated who they believe is right in the situation.
I guess when I say that, I'm thinking of, so I had a really good conversation at lunch with, I can't remember his name right now, but he was mentioning how Seattle Times is one of the only metro daily papers that works with a network of, I think, 30 different bloggers in various communities around Seattle Times. And I was arguing, complaining, that metro daily newspapers, why don't they spin off their bloggers? Why don't they treat their own regional areas about that, or even like a state? There's lots of options or ways to play with that, particularly since you laid off half your workforce
right.
Last like decade. So anyway, that's what came to mind. I think you're right that the whole gatekeeper role is obviously, it's a problem. Well, I don't know if it's a problem or not, but journalists can be curators, and so that's a form of curation.
I can also, go for it.
So as somebody who's actually worked on collaborations between community and professional, curating is very dangerous. Very dangerous, tiptoe around that.
Mm-hmm.
Because all of a sudden, the professional journalists are deciding what's acceptable and what isn't.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah. That's
really a problem. And
right.
There's an arrogance that goes with that communities really hate.
Agreed, but they do it every day.
Right.
But that's not something that we want to repeat we create another problem if we don't have some standards around that.
I think,
these standards.
Right. I think we can actually divorce what's all the news that's fit to print from curation. I think what we can do as curators is instead, and maybe this is far out, but I think you can limit your role as a professional journalist to fact-checking. Whether or not I think this is important, relevant news, that is not for me to decide. What I do need to decide is if someone is posting this to a platform I'm hosting, is it factually accurate? That's it. That is it. Because once you remove yourself as, is this good content? Because that's not your role. And I don't know if that's kind of what you were dealing with. Was that what you were experiencing, like journalists are like, this is good, no?
No, I actually, it goes beyond that. I think I'd go beyond this conversation. But it has to do with hijacking good news from the community,
right.
Making it more palatable for a larger community.
Right, and that's what I was talking about, is not doing that. Like,
yeah.
I think that is a way to explore, is as professional journalists or as curators, just simply sticking to.
You need a code of collaboration, which
right.
is what actually a group is working on right
That's
now.
That's a really good idea. So,
so code of collaboration.
Code of collaboration, yeah.
Sorry?
I mean, wouldn't just common sense tell you that you would also check, if you can, the credibility of the person who's doing the writing?
Well, that's just a standard journalistic practice.
Yeah.
That's anyone who's getting published, yeah. Journalist to
that doesn't mean you don't do it, but it's
right.
a standard journal.
Yeah.
What I'm saying.
Yeah. Code of collaboration, that's good.
I like that. Yeah. What group is working on this?
Media Consortium.
Okay.
The Media Consortium. It's a consortium of independent media outlets. And we have a meeting in D.C. a couple months ago, and out of this came a discussion around how you collaborate without being hijacked or used by larger, well-resourced organizations. So they're in the middle of developing a code of collaboration. You should talk to Joellen Kaiser. She's here.
Right over there.
Yeah. She can talk.
Yes.
But isn't that independent journalists?
No, these are independent media outlets. These are not corporate-driven
outlets. So they're also not citizen journalists.
Sorry?
That's
they're
correct.
Also not citizen journalists.
No, but they're working with.
Okay,
so they're
the confluence. Yeah, and I feel like that's also an important thing, is like being on the same page as far as, I think there are elements of professional journalistic discourse that can be applied and should be applied when dealing with citizen journalists as well. Like, accuracy is a good part, right? Like, it doesn't matter what your message is. If it's your message, that's fine, but it needs to be accurate. It needs to be factual. You need to actually vet it. So vetting, I think, I don't know how to, I guess that maybe is covered in code of collaboration. Maybe it should be something else, too. But having shared values to that level, at least.
This discussion is making me wonder if there's the potential to develop a code of conduct for citizen journalists,
yeah.
Which is kind of a rake off of what you're talking about. Pointer has been?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
So we should look at Pointer.
Right, but of course, then citizen journalists have to adopt that. Well, you know.
Well, what I was thinking in my mind was, if I were a legacy media editor,
mm-hmm.
and I was trying to figure out whether a particular person was somebody I could trust to do reporting for me, it would be kind of nice to be able to pull out go to a website or pull out a piece of paper that has checkboxes.
Right.
What questions have I asked about this person? What expectations can I lay on them for their behavior and conduct as they report?
Yeah, or, and, you know, just to further elaborate, Pointer actually has spent quite a few years developing the whole area of citizen journalism. And they've got code of ethics and things like that they've been working on. So I would also recommend you go there.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to reinvent it.
No, absolutely not.
But what about like a more
it's the Pointer Institute.
Crowdsourced way too. So like there was a place where you know, there was accountability online for people who had maybe published your work as a citizen journalist, and then they could kind of not review you, but sort of give you that stamp of approval, and then over time you would get more of that, and then so it's kind of like a collective resume of citizen journalists, I guess, that sort of
a consumer reports for
citizen
journalists.
You as a
citizen
journalist. Yeah.
Does that happen organically? I mean, do you ever see pushback from
people? There are definitely social groups, but none that are really institutionalized well. Like, that would be a benefit, but like, who would pay for that? Because our community is not paid well at all anyway, so it's hard to have these kind of
But standards. Rather than a review site, I mean, do you ever see cases or instances where the community polices itself? Do you have community journalists who go out, fuck up, and then the next thing they go to, people are like, we don't want to talk to you because...
Sure, that's definitely an issue that even I deal with, and I wouldn't say it's even just fuck up, but like, anytime a community feels harmed by you, there's that issue. I mean, there's no real way to fix that once you're there.
But I was thinking more, in the community, like having that being more legitimate in the community, I was thinking about a way for outlets to, without having to do a lot of research and labor to figure out, is this person someone we can trust? What have they published before? Who else? You know, if you gave me a resume when you pitched, you know, I might be able to do some of that work, but it's not efficient. But if there was like a visible place for it all to happen, then an outlet could quickly check that and elevate somebody even more.
So Share the Facts, organization now combines, I think, Washington Post, PolitiFact, factcheck.org, a couple of different other organizations. They combine their fact check things, and so you can ask Ed or Bot or their Alexa or Google Home connection, you can talk to them and be able to verify these things. It just brings to mind the idea that maybe something like that combined with, they're using different technology for it, so something like a natural language processing form of AI or something, to give a score based on factual, and this could be done for professionals or citizen journalists. And this could be shared with editors specifically if that's the choice, if they don't want this to be a public score out there. But I mean, if someone's like, well, Share the Facts, this person has a score of 2. They are never accurate.
It's almost
clearly not going to be in our publication, the average rating online, I think it's 4.0 stars, so it would be like a 60-70%. I don't know what percentage of accuracy.
Is it 4 out of 5?
I brought that in. I don't know. That has nothing to do with this. Percentage accuracy for the journalist, professional, or otherwise, could be part of
what would be interesting is if you were a local online news amateur journalist, you could submit yourself to a rating agency.
Right.
like I talked about my local blog, I could maybe go to some location, a Better Business Bureau for journalism practice, and say, okay, please, I'm going to put a bug on my blog that says, click here to rate my performance. And it goes to this third party that manages that process and to which I have no control over the outcome.
I mean, in other words, one of the two or the combination certainly sounds like it would be helpful in determining who would be.
How would that be distinct from what you were suggesting?
Well, the one that I suggested,
yeah.
I was saying natural language processing could be used to determine, what's a fact or not. You know,
I see.
Things like that.
Yeah. Okay.
To some extent,
yeah.
I don't know how well that would do. It would probably still want to be something that you want done by hand by a human anyway. So, but there's, Share the Facts is using various forms of technology to combine facts from various publications that are actively fact-checking politicians.
Yeah.
So you can say, what did Donald Trump say about Russia? Has Donald Trump submitted his taxes? And be able to tell you the answer.
So here's a question about how to do this. Like, thinking about systems and how to implement them gets tricky, but how about here's a thought for a more informal system that I've been kind of toying with. The idea of community editors, professional journalists who are community editors, and their entire role is to build relationships with citizen journalists in their community. That is their entire role. So they are the ones doing the vetting. They are the ones who are determining reliability by building relationships with the people. Or if it's not a geographic area, an online area.
100 years ago, they were called regional editors.
Exactly.
They worked with correspondents.
Right. There's been the theme of going back to the beginning.
It's still
like roots. Right.
It's still a hammer, though, right?
Right.
It's still a leash holder for
conservatives.
Well, oh, I said 100 years ago, we called it a community editor, and they worked with regional correspondents. I mean, it's at the end of the day, though, it's still somebody who falls under branding being the leash holder for the community. I mean, is that what we're talking about with legitimacy here, that it takes brand recognition for someone to be legitimized as a journalist? Or should we be having a conversation about how you put those two things together in the same chamber and put them on equal footing? And then, I mean, what I'm hearing is kind of two separate conversations.
Well, you have something to say.
I was just going to say, and that makes one person the determiner of what's good
yeah.
and bad.
Right, and that is a fair criticism of it. On the other hand, the question of who determines, like, the scoring system, right? How do you, if it's a third party, who runs that third party? Who is responsible for assigning that? Who, in someone's mind, is arbitrarily deciding who's trustworthy and who's not? And is there, so maybe, I mean, I don't think there's a perfect system that we've thought of yet. but, I mean, that's the weakness there, is who is that? Whereas at least with a community editor, especially if we have a standard, like a code of collaboration or something like that, like they're not going to shut you down just because you say something they don't agree with. The only time they're going to shut you down is because it's not factual, right? Or they have a clear set of expectations, and that's the reputation. But you're still getting to know them as a person, and they're part of the community.
And the community gets to know that person.
Exactly.
That burden is still going to rest on the mainstream outlet to do the scoring, to take that feedback into context. So would it be up to the citizen journalist to have to do that work to be seen as viable?
Well, and that's—and honestly, to an extent, offloading that work onto the professional. That's—they have the force, they have more funding. I think that's fair. You know, and so long as again,
it has to serve their purpose anyway.
Right, and
so
just
going to do their work.
Right, and so long as there's clear standards of this is what if you want us, if you want to be published on our platform, here's what we need.
Yeah,
that's it. That's on you. That's up to you. But we'll
so
do the rest.
Here to Share the Facts is the Duke's Reporters Lab, Duke University Reporters Lab.
What was that?
Duke University Reporters Lab.
Okay.
So not only
sharing
facts, but an idea that I had is that a lot of what I see journalism to be is storytelling.
Right.
And as you know, stories never end, stories never die. It'd be really interesting, like, for a lot of articles, they write the story.
Creators
it's
left.
Over.
Creators
but, like, how can that continue? How can you,
reporters.
Pass on that story, those contexts to a citizen journalist? So you're writing about somebody who got shot, maybe tell that person, go talk to his family and keep talking with them. If there's more things to tell to the community, it's kind of on you, but I know my editor doesn't want to work on this anymore. Like, how can we make sure that those stories keep going on through citizens?
Because that's what we find out in general, not being a community. It's really juicy story comes out. It's like I never hear about it.
Yeah, and providing those infrastructure for that to
be
and the access.
So is there another session starting at 2:30?
Yes.
So we need to break.
We are done in, yeah, we have 4 minutes, technically, so we can wrap up if there's any parting thoughts. But.
Thank you.
I know we didn't quite address what you were hoping for.
I think we did.
So did we? Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Collaboration, yeah.
So these will get, I think that these all get rounded up into like somewhere.